The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Across America on outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. I'm coming to you from the home of the Todd Starnes Show in Iowa, my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. My privilege to be with Starnes Nation again today. Same phone number as always as you connect with Team Starnes at the flagship, the Mighty 990 in Memphis. It's 844-747-8868. Once again, 844-747-8868. You can follow Todd on the Twitter machine at Todd Starnes. Also, of course, all the information you need, including fair and accurate news, at toddstarnes.com. I don't know about how you all start your day, but I start my day with the clock radio going off, the alarm going off with the sound of radio. And it happens for me at 5 o'clock every morning. So the first thing I hear is the hourly newscast on my radio station. And so I was greeted this morning before anything else by hearing word of the tragic shooting with a gunman killing eight at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis, killing eight there before killing himself. Almost said Independence. There's a place down the road from where I'm at where there's a major event going on right now that I'll mention in a moment. Indianapolis is where this took place. And here's what's really sad, that we are to this point in America. My first reaction should have been to think about the eight people who were killed and the dozens of others who were injured. You might say a prayer if you're so inclined. You think about the individual who perpetrated this horror and how terribly misguided they had to be driven to action like this. That really ought to be the first reaction for the victims and their families. Sadly, though, my first reaction was, oh, we're going to hear from the gun control folks again. Isn't that too bad? And sure enough, I got the emails, I got the tweets from people who referenced the killing in Indianapolis and immediately tied it to the need for gun control. The two don't have anything to do with one another in terms of the current conversation. Literally, just a minute or so before we went on the air, so 4 minutes past the hour, official White House statement from President Joe Biden on the mass shooting. And it basically, let's see, how long does it go? Let's see, I'm reading. It's not until the last paragraph that President Biden says, God bless the eight fellow Americans we lost and their loved ones. That was at the end of the whole thing. Instead, it was an overwritten narrative leading toward gun control. He talks about a lone gunman. Well, he, whoever's writing this for him, he has no idea. Where a lone gunman murdered eight people and wounded several more in the dark of night. We should have theme music for this. today's briefing, in other words, what he just heard from his boss Kamala Harris and their team, today's briefing is just the latest in a string of tragedies. And then he starts mentioning selected shootings. And then talks about, oh, you know, a week ago we talked about this plan. Gun violence, an epidemic in America. We must act. Okay. I'm good with acting if it's going to make a difference. And this is the hypocrisy that I absolutely rail against and that I'm not surprised about tragically anymore. There were people who were calling for legislation. Adopt the president's plan. We have to do something. Without knowing anything about the weaponry used, without knowing anything about the motive, officials not long ago held a news conference and said it's far too soon to think about what the motive is, but that does not stop those with an agenda that would undermine the foundations of our nation. They're happy to jump out and cry fake tears for eight people who died because they think it will help them get to gun control. It is a tragedy, almost rising to the level of the act itself, because it is so shameless and it is so transparent and it really is disgusting. So again, I hear about fellow Americans being killed and I immediately think that there will be politicians who are going to take advantage of the situation. And yep, they did. And now we're hearing from the president talking about acting and all of these things. All right, I hope one of you can help me because I truly don't know the answer to this. I haven't found it. Every time something bad happens, we say, well, there ought to be a law about this. You ought to pass a law. That's fine, but they're missing the key point. Will the law actually make a difference? So, for example, Mr. President, here's your statement, and it fills up. I'm sure if I printed it off in small print, it'd be a full page. So there's your statement. What part of your gun control proposals, what part of your suggestions to limit the Second Amendment to the Constitution, what part of any of that would have made a difference in preventing the loss of life in Indianapolis last night? Just show me that. Because this is the insidious nature of those who are trying to control your lives. They say they want to stop gun violence in America, so here's the law. But the law doesn't actually address the shooting situations. In other words, pass that law. But how would that have stopped the situation in Indianapolis, in Atlanta, in Boulder? Name any of these places. Now, if you can show me where it would, where it is responsive to make a difference, then we can have a conversation. But here's part of their broad plan. What they want to do is to play upon your sympathies at this point. You hear the horror of a workplace shooting. And they say, well, let's pass these common sense measures. And you say, oh, well, sure, you know, because I'm caught up in the emotion of the moment. And then they'll come back to do even more. Do it again. Why? Because their plan, their law, if passed, would not prevent the heinous act that we are reading about and hearing about today. So then, of course, we have to pass another law. And then we have to pass another law. And pretty soon, you could hold the Second Amendment up and see through to the next room because there will be so many holes in it. That's part of their plan. Because it's part of this foundation building that they're doing. And it started with the pandemic. And we'll talk more about how that ties into this later on as time permits. But let's get back to this main point. If they get in the door with a gun control law, then they can say, oh, well, it didn't go far enough. We need to go farther. And you see how we're down the hill. This is no different than Obamacare. They knew full well this thing that they passed was not about to be financially responsible. It was not feasible. But they passed it anyway so they could say, oh, well, what we need to do is go even further. We've got to go to full single payer, et cetera, et cetera. It was all a trap that we all got caught in, whether we knew better or not. So here they go again. Here's a statement about a mass shooting that says nothing about the victims until the last paragraph, after you've waded through all of this stuff. Malarkey, I'll call it. That seems to be a favorite phrase of the president. The malarkey of a gun control bill that would not have prevented this. Now, I'm not saying we don't address violence. What I'm saying is, don't let them pass a meaningless law, one that has absolutely nothing to do with solving the quote-unquote problem, and then we just sit back and think everything's fine until it isn't, because it never would have been, and then they come back for more. And that's how your rights and your freedoms are eroded away from you, and you don't even know it, because who's in favor of gun violence? No one. It's when they come at you with the smile on their face and the empathetic look in their eyes, that's where you, depending on the situation, you either grab your gun or you grab your wallet, because they're coming for that too, pretty apparently. That's the tragedy. We're focused more on rebutting the political implications of these opportunists, as opposed to praying for the souls of those who were lost and those who are fighting because first responders are trying to keep them alive. Welcome to the Harris-Biden administration. Welcome to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden's America. 844-747-8868 is the number. This is how you join our national conversation. I've said it before when I've had the privilege of sitting in for Mr. Starnes. I don't get a chance to talk to regular listeners. I do interviews on my program here in Iowa. I don't get this kind of conversation, and I always cherish the opportunity to talk with all of you. So give them a call, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free call. We'll get to your calls and some of the other items in the news as we continue. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and you're listening to The Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. And you may be listening in a variety of ways. I'm speaking to you right now in the 11 o'clock hour Central Time on Friday. That means it's in the noon hour on the East Coast. The rest of you figure out your own math. And I tell you that because sometimes you're listening to a podcast, sometimes your radio station airs the program at a different time. But this program is live from noon until 3 weekdays on the East Coast, 844-747-8868. So if this is the time when you're listening, call us right now. We'll answer the phone. We'll have a nice national conversation on the radio. And if you'd like to connect with Todd or whoever is sitting here in the air chair, the show is live noon to 3, Mondays through Fridays. In the last segment, we talked about that terrible shooting at the FedEx facility in Indianapolis. And I stumbled over the name Indianapolis to begin with. And that's because my attention here in Iowa today is focused on a small town named Independence. Because at this very moment, there is a funeral being held there for a brave Iowa State Patrol trooper by the name of Sergeant Jim Smith, who was shot down in the line of duty as he and fellow troopers were responding to a hostile situation in a small Iowa town. Grundy Center is the name of the town. It's named after an early Iowa congressman by the name of Felix Grundy. And someone barricaded himself in his home with guns. Officers moved in to try to defuse the situation. and the person in the home shot and killed Sergeant Smith. His funeral going on right now in a town called Independence. We did not hear around here a lot of people whining and moaning about gun control. All those guns were legal that the individual had. By the way, later, a tactical team came with an armored vehicle, drove through the front door of the house, literally shot him, took him into custody. He will recover and he will be jailed and charged with first degree murder. But again, in terms of how you react to situations, at the same time, we have all these issues about defunding police. We have all of these same issues about gun control. Sergeant Jim Smith gave all for all of us. And those stories don't get the same attention, I'm afraid. Lisa is joining us on the news line now. She called 844-747-8868. Listening in Lynchburg, Virginia on the great WLZA. Lisa, thanks for calling the Todd Starnes Show. How are you today?
Just fine. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I talked with my congressperson while Trump was still in office. And my background is sociology. And I told him, I said, the government is making people mentally ill. I told him that. And I think the people, this was a fundraiser and a small group, and I think people thought I was crazy. But this is what has been happening. The Democrats, or Marxists, or whoever you want to call them, have so disrupted everything. Human beings can take change, but they can't take the change that is going on now without affecting them mentally. And I've been listening to how students in school are being affected by the ones, you know, that aren't in school. And psychologists and people are saying this, that this is affecting children not only physically but mentally. And I've just been proven to be right. And I just think people need to think about this, because these shooters, something is going on in them to cause them to think, nobody's going to be on my side. Nobody's going to help me. I need help. And these people just are ignoring, and they're thinking of all these crazy things when that has nothing to do with what's going on in the people. And until we correct this, I mean, things get worse every day. You never know when you wake up in the morning what you're going to be hearing. And like I said, change can happen over a period of time. But not this fast. I mean, human beings are not made to take this much change. So,
and there's also, right. Is there not? Well, no, you're making excellent points, because this is what the politicians do, though. It's much harder to try to address issues of mental illness. It's much harder to address issues of what government is doing to its citizens, not for its citizens. It's much easier just to say, well, it must be guns. And that's missing the whole point. That's yet another reason why this gun control they're proposing isn't going to make any sense. Do you have any thoughts? Or what did your member of Congress say when you presented him or her with your accurate information like this?
Well, he's very nice, but I just feel like so many times over the years, people have just patted me on the head. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you sweet little thing. And so, you know, I just feel like I'm supposed to say things, and I'm supposed to give it to authorities, and then they are responsible because I have given the information that I believe, and they're to look into it because they're to look over us. They're to care for us.
That's right. And Lisa, I'm not just patting you on the head, but I am against a hard break. And so you keep speaking, and nobody's going to just pat you on the head and tell you to go away. Thanks so much for calling in from Lynchburg today. Hey, Ed, you want to talk about cancel culture? And we'll do that after this break on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is how you can make the connection. And that's how Ed is reaching us. He listens on News Radio 102.9 KARN in Little Rock. Ed, thanks for joining the Todd Starn Show. How are you today?
Pretty good, to tell you the truth. But what
good.
I know that, thank you for taking my call, by the way.
Sure. Of course.
Todd always pushes Mike Lindell and has special things for Todd Starn's listeners. And I understand a lot of companies are taking his product out of their stores. I think that a list should be sent out so that people who believe in free enterprise and believe the way he does should stop going to these stores, start cutting their money, their profits, and everything like that.
I seem to recall that either you talked to me about this the last time I was here, or someone had a very similar idea, and I could not agree more that the idea of how to tell these companies that we've had enough is to vote with our pocketbooks. For example, there is a chain of stores throughout, it's a national chain, but they were based in Wisconsin. They've come to the Midwest, and I live in Iowa, and so this is where I would go to get clothes. It's a reasonable price. Merchandise is pretty good. But they I don't know why I'm being shy. It's Kohl's. K-O-H-L-S is who I'm talking about here. And, you know, I've got my little Kohl's card and I get my coupons and all of that. And they announced that they were no longer going to stock my pillows in their stores. And I decided that was the last time I was going to shop in their stores. Now, here's what's really interesting about that. You could still get them online through their website. And so how pure are these companies with their motives? Well, I'm not shopping at Kohl's.com. I'm not shopping in a Kohl's store. Are they going to notice that Jeff Stein isn't spending money? They may not, but if a lot of us do that, the point might be gotten across. Have you changed your buying habits as a result of things like this?
Oh, absolutely. And I've noticed that Walmart is not carrying my pillow anymore. Coca-Cola with the garbage that they're pulling in Georgia, I'll never buy a Coke again.
You know,
I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead. There's just enough of a delay. I'd rather hear you, and then I'll say what I have to say. Go ahead.
Okay. Like Major League Baseball, the NFL, the National Felons League, NHL hockey, the NBA. Bottom line, don't watch any of them. Watch only college sports anymore, and I will never, and repeat, never go to a baseball game again.
Ed, thank you so much for the call from Arkansas today. I appreciate it greatly. Let me say a few things about what Ed just referenced, and I'm right in line with that. I was looking forward to the baseball season this year. This may not go over well on a program that is based in Memphis, Tennessee, but I'm a Yankees fan. So I don't even want to get into how that happened, but you know, I've been a Yankees fan. So we come back last year after the pandemic, and I just refuse to watch because I don't need to see BLM symbols on the pitching mound and on the outfield walls. I didn't watch the NFL once I saw that they had all of these things on the helmets and on the field of play, NBA the same way, etc. Here's the thing. Go ahead and have your free speech, but not in the workplace like that. I don't need to see it on the field of play. That's crossing the line. I'm not going to hire a plumber to come to my house and then have that person, I'm paying them, I don't need them to tell me their political views. You want to do it on your own time? Do it on your own time, but don't put it on the field of play. So I'm sitting back thinking this will be great. Major League Baseball is back. Maybe they've gotten some of this out of their system. And all of a sudden, let's move the All-Star game. Nope, I'm done. I have more weekend time now. There will be no excuse for me not getting yard work done this year. There will be no excuse for me not getting that book written that I'm a little behind on. There will be no excuse for me not fixing up the house, because I'm sure not watching sports. And there are two exceptions, NASCAR and Pro Rodeo. In my mind, it's back and forth. I'm not sure which one is the more patriotic sport. I think it's rodeo. quite honestly. Frank, you're calling in from North Carolina on the Todd Starnes Show. Thanks so much for placing the call. How are you? Good to talk to you, sir.
I'm doing fine, thank you. I really like the last caller's idea about boycotting the Catholic Culture stores.
Yes.
I would like to find that list, too. I've been looking for it. I called a couple of weeks back about it. I feel like if all the conservative people and people who really cared about free speech and really cared about Second Amendments and really cared about our Constitution, they would just put their money where their mouth is and just boycott. Don't go to their .com stores. Don't go to their football games or their baseball games. Don't spend near penny with them. There's other companies out there that believe in the American way, in the American dream, and we need to support them. And I don't know how to find that list. I tried. Google's a big brain, but evidently I don't got enough brains to find what I'm looking for.
Or they're not going to let you find it. I mean, we're talking about Google here with its own agenda, right? Here's what I would say, and I'm not against the concept of some, you know, but here's the problem with the concept of saying here's a big master list, because it almost feels like what the other side does in terms of trying to stifle. I don't have any problem with grassroots. Go ahead.
They're winning. They're beating us by doing that. You have to fight fire with fire.
Here's the thing. Well, go ahead. Okay, so have you changed your purchasing practices, the stores you go to, the services that you use?
Yes, I have.
That is by far the first start, Frank, because here's the thing. If you start that way, then you tell people. I mean, I'm not saying there shouldn't be some master list, but I get real squeamish about, yes, you have to fight them. I'm not against that in any way, shape, manner, or form, and I'm just fine to tell you that I am not going to Kohl's, and I am not going to Bed Bath & Beyond. Not that that was a place I hung out at too regularly, but I do know that they stopped selling Mr. Lindell's products, which, by the way, nobody pays me to say it, but my sleep is so much better ever since my wife said we should get those. I'm just going to say it, all right? This is not an endorsement, right? But so I think you just have to investigate it. And then when you find you're at a place that does not conform with your beliefs, you just walk out and tell them why. What do you think about that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I put in the back of my window my pickup truck, "We the people are upset."
Amen, sir. That's fantastic. Hey, thank you for calling in today. Frank was calling in from North Carolina. Dino now is in Chattanooga, Tennessee, listening on Nuga Radio about, oh gosh, you want to talk about the FedEx shootings. What a horrible way, Dino, to wake up today, right?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's funny. My ex-wife worked there 37 years.
Oh, my goodness. At that place?
It's a wonderful company. Sir?
At that location or for FedEx?
No. She worked in Tampa.
Okay.
And then she worked here in Georgia. But my, mm-hmm. What a wonderful company. I had four children, and cost me $300 a kid. That's FedEx paid the rest. But anyhow, I just want to thank you and Todd for, you know, no one's bringing up Rush's name not too often. And, you know, I originally come from Vermont, and the radio stations play the same music after a while, you know, rock and roll. So I just happened to turn on an AM station. I got Rush, it's formerly Stained Nicotine Tans, and that's how I got into listening to y'all. And I miss Rush, but he's done more for talk radio. But anyhow, everybody's so worried, like, why did this guy kill those eight people? Well, obviously, he's mentally deranged. Now, a 13-year-old kid was shot in Chicago today, or yesterday.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to be 68 in October. Here's my point. When I was a young lad growing up in Vermont, my dad had strict gun rules. But these kids today, 63% of our young lads and young lassies are being raised in a single-parent home. The mom usually is the one raising them. There's no education. They've got these violent video games. They don't know the value of a human life. And everyone sits around and talks, but we got to have to start educating the youth to get away from this, because it's like I heard earlier today, one of the shows I was listening to, the world's laughing at us. And that bothers me. not because I'm Dane. I can take anything. But what's your thought on that? You know, I mean, when are we going to start educating our youth that guns are bad?
Well, it really starts in the home, doesn't it? I mean, you were educated. Your children were educated. And where are the families in these large metro areas? I mean, this comes down to the disintegration of the American family, doesn't it? The family unit. And it's a matter of, go ahead.
Yep. Here's another point, and I don't need to offend anybody.
Yeah.
But now, when a white cop or a black cop shoots a black kid or a young man, they run out and they have these violent protests. And what do? They steal from stores. They burn police cruisers. They shoot our cops. They throw water bottles, frozen water bottles, and bricks. But yet, in Chicago, every night. Now, I used to be a union plumber, pipe fitter. And I worked in Chicago 2012. And the first weekend I was there, it was June 1st, Sunday night. They had 57 shootings and 9 people were killed. Now, not one black person went out and complained. There was no riots. There was nothing. So why aren't they doing the same thing here in Chattanooga? Every night we're having shootouts. So, and I spoke with a black woman yesterday at a Waffle House. I says, can I help you help your people? I said, how come when a white cop shoots a black man, you guys flip out? Mm-hmm. But yet when blacks shoot blacks, no one does nothing. And that has to stop. What do you think?
I completely agree, and thank you for the call. We're up against a break, but I do want to say this before and after the break. John, please hang on. I'll get to you right after the break that's coming up. But see, this is the thing. It's easy to point at somebody like law enforcement who may make a mistake. It is easy to point at something that you think is racially motivated. They say those Atlanta shootings are not at all racially motivated, the police, but that's not what the narrative is it? You know, we're targeting Asian Americans. No one should be targeted. But it's much harder to solve a problem in the inner cities about black-on-black crime and the destruction of the family. So they don't want to discuss that topic because it's harder to resolve it. 844-747-8868 is the number. We'll take your call, John, and yours if you get in quick. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. 844-747-8868 is the number. That's the number that John used to call in from Arkansas today. John, what's on your mind about this cancel culture stuff?
Well, I have taken a little bit different tack on this. I know it's going to sound a little bit critical to some of the other callers, but what I've done is all these stores like Nordstrom's, Kohl's, and the other ones have taken MyPillow off the shelf. I went out and bought a share of their stock. And when I get their proxy statement, I vote against each and every one of their directors and against their compensation. So that, you know, and if with all the different outstanding shares, if 100,000 or 200,000 people bought a share of stock, when they get their proxy statement and vote against them, I think that'll get their attention a lot quicker than trying to write them a letter that they're going to throw away or call that they're not going to answer. It's going to hit them in their pocketbook.
That's an excellent way to protest and have it be counted. I mean, literally, we're talking about scoreboard here because they can see how many votes are against this incumbent slate. Do they do the same kind of annual meetings that they used to do, shareholder meetings where individuals could get up and speak?
Yeah, and I don't really care if I lose money on the stock. It's the whole point of voting against them and showing them that, you know, somebody out here is not approving of what they're doing. And I think if enough people did that, you know, if they invested, some shares are $40, $50, some of them might have to invest $100. But if enough people did that and they could see that, hey, we're getting votes against us, what's going on here? You know, you can boycott. They'll just sell it someplace else. There's going to be other people that step up and say, well, I'm not going to boycott them. I'll just buy more of it. But you start hitting them in the board of directors, and I think they'll take notice.
Now, I asked a second ago about these annual meetings they used to have, and they were inconvenient for people to show up at. But I'm now wondering if some of these annual shareholder meetings may be done via Zoom, in which case, you know, you might not be able, John, to travel halfway across the country to stand up at a meeting and say what you have to say in addition to the vote against them. But I wonder if that Zoom thing could open up a lot of possibilities for stirring up a little trouble as well.
Yeah, it could. I don't know how easy it would be for them to, you know, mute you or say we've got some technical difficulties, and we'll go to the next person. But yeah, and each one of these little, and I just mailed another one in today, and I've got one sitting at home. I've got to read down through. I'm reading more through the prospectus and the board of directors. What are the boards they sit on, and some of their ideas, and there's some names that I see on some of the boards that are former Obama administration people, and I automatically, nope, not voting for them. But each one of them has a little check box on there to say whether you're going to attend the meeting in person, which I don't know that they're even having them right now because most of them are in big cities where they've got the restrictions on. But
right,
I vote...
Right.
Vote against each one of the directors and mail it in.
John, what a great idea. What a smart call. Thanks for making the call from Arkansas. Okay, so now here's the example that John just gave you. Because a lot of times I know people say to me, and I know we have talked about it, you and I, on this program, the few times that I've had the privilege of being here of late, what do we do? Everybody says, fine, we know that the system is the system. We know that these people are in it for themselves, but what do we do? And the short answer is you do what you can. You don't go shop at a store that, in essence, says they don't appreciate your business and, more importantly, your values. You go do what John did. You buy a share of stock so you can vote against them, so you can send a message. It doesn't have to be always. It doesn't have to be everybody doing the same thing. You listening right now, what is it you can do in your corner of the world so that you not only feel better yourself, but you also are sending a message? That's how it starts. And then you'll find there's a lot more of you out there than just you. For those of you who are leaving, thanks for being here. For those of you who are staying on the radio or at ToddStarnes.com, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Starnes. Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, and it still is, despite attempts by those in Washington to ruin it all. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd on this Friday, coming to you from my home base at the 50,000-watt flamethrower News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. Giving my audience accurate news and reasonable views, and giving them the Todd Starnes Show as well. We'd like to have you join this national conversation. You do it at the same number you always use. It's 844-747-8868, 844-747-8868. James, I'm going to ask you to hold on the line because we have a special guest I want to start the program with, or this hour of the program with. You know him well. He is Jeffrey Lord, online at thejeffreylord.com and on the Twitter machine at Real Jeffrey Lord. Mr. Lord, thanks for taking time to talk to the Todd Starnes audience. Jeff Stein here. How are you?
You bet. As one Jeff to a Jeff.
Well, you know, our parents had good sense in names.
Yes, they did.
that's a very good start. You know, the last time I spoke to you was on this program, and it's been some months. And so I'm interested just in a general sense. You sounded some cautionary notes based upon your experience in presidential politics, cautionary notes about what a Biden-Harris, or it's obviously Harris-Biden administration, what it would do. Is this worse than even you had feared so far?
Yes, unequivocally. Just to run through a quick, short list.
Please.
Packing the courts, amnesty, reparations, federalized elections with H.R. 1, statehood for the District of Columbia, and banning the Electoral College.
Other than that, everything's great.
Yeah, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
Exactly.
It is amazing to me. And one of the things that I find very worrisome, you know, the political conversation in this country, there is a lot of it about the president's condition, his mental prowess, and all of this kind of thing. But there's a vast difference between people like us having that conversation and realizing there are seriously bad actors in the world, in Iran and Russia and China, who are thinking the same thing. And yeah. Judging, you know, how they want to deal with the United States accordingly, because they think he's not all that great on the uptake. I mean, there is a reason, really, why Vladimir Putin challenged him to a televised debate. I mean, funny, but not so funny when you think of the consequences of all of this. And you've got the Iranians who want to build a nuclear weapon and, you know, in their phraseology, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. I mean, this is deadly serious consequences here.
And as you said, you know, watching this poor fellow who's in the role of president shuffle around there, I mean, it's tragic. But then the consequences for all of us, as you've noted, it's just mind-boggling. And this is even worse. We can't even discuss it in what were supposedly open forums just a year and a half ago. We're not even able to suggest that we don't agree with the prevailing narrative. That's truly frightening as well.
Well, that's right. I mean, this whole business that's going on with the All-Star Game, for example, and moving it from Atlanta. Wow. You know, you've got all these movie stars that signed a letter on this, and they have no idea how much damage they've done to the black community of Atlanta. First of all, it's a majority black city, and 30% of their small businesses are minority-owned. And to be woke, the baseball president shifted this game to 70-some-odd percent white Denver, took the business away. Like $100 million worth is the figure I've seen of damage and lost business to Atlanta. I mean, what are these people thinking? They have absolutely no regard. And one of the things that really gets me, Jeff, is the business about the Georgia voting law and requiring ID, which in that case, I mean, all kinds of things they've included as ID, including presenting a utility bill. Well, all these movie stars get huffy about this and saying that incorrectly that this is discrimination. Well, I did a little looking around, Jeff, as you can imagine me doing. And what did I find? I went to Warner Brothers, one of the big studios out there. And yes, sure enough, on the Warner Brothers website, if you want a tour of the studio, which they do public tours, guess what you have to present? A photo ID to get in the movie studio. You just can't make this stuff up. Major
well,
League
you
Baseball,
can't,
you got to have an ID to pick up your tickets from Will Call.
Yes.
Coca-Cola, you've got to have a photo ID to get into their shareholder meetings. Delta, you've got to have a photo ID to get on their plane. I mean, it just on and on and on with Major League, so to speak, hypocrisy.
At what point do you think, reminding the audience, we're speaking with Jeffrey Lord on the Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Friday, At what point do you think some of these folks might actually admit they went too far? In other words, so far everyone is just doubling down or they're just being silent. Is there somebody among these folks who jump too soon without realizing who might say, okay, you know what, I didn't think this through? Or are they just going to hunker down and hope to ride it out?
Well, yeah, I think that in some cases, you know, like with Coca-Cola, I think, as I understand it, they've walked it back a little bit. And there's a reason for it. The demand went up on the spot to push back, to boycott Coca-Cola, to stop watching baseball games. You know, when you get that kind of pushback, suddenly you begin to realize there's a problem here. And I noticed that the head of Walmart put out a very carefully worded statement that basically said, our business is business and we don't get involved in politics. Well, clearly, he knew that if he went down that path, there would be a backlash against his company, so he didn't go there. Good thinking.
Well, he probably owns a fair amount of the stock himself and realized it was going to affect an awful lot. One of the things that has struck me is how words don't mean anything that they used to mean. We used to know what infrastructure meant. We used to know what public health crisis meant, but now infrastructure means paying workers, and public health crisis means get rid of guns, and now you've got these Democrats saying they're not packing the court when quite obviously their legislation would pack the court. I mean, people figuring this out?
It reminds me, and I can't remember the phraseology exactly, but the old Alice in Wonderland tale, when she falls through the rabbit hole... And down there, and it's all this fantasy going on, and somebody says a word means what I say it means. Wow, you just can't make this stuff up. They are reinventing all these things to try and get their radical agenda passed. I mean, I love the infrastructure business. In the long ago and far away, I worked for a congressman from Pennsylvania, who was chairman of the House Public Works and Transportation Committee. And I assure you, I read enough legislation to know exactly what infrastructure means. It means bridges, roads, you know, highways, waterways, all of that, the physical infrastructure of the country. To now say it means all these other things is just flying in the face of reality here and trying to make people believe that up is down and down is up. And I don't think that's going to fly either.
All right, in our remaining moment or so, one of the things I get asked a lot, and I trust you do too, my just common, ordinary, good Americans, they say, well, all right, but what do we do? So what's your blueprint? What's your advice for someone listening to the Todd Starn Show who says, I've had enough of this? What do they do?
2022 can't come fast enough. I mean, seriously, people need to get to work in terms of electing people who oppose this stuff to Congress next year. Up until that time, I would bombard my congressman and my senator with things. I'd write the letters to the editor of the newspapers. And frankly, use your social media. I mean, we are in the 21st century here, Jeff, and there's all kinds of ways to, you know, communicate your message and your disagreement and unhappiness with all this on the Internet, and they should do it.
And if you go to thejeffreylord.com, you can even sign up to get some email newsletters or information which helps you be informed as you do all these things, correct?
Exactly right.
Thank you, sir. It is always a privilege to connect with you on the Todd Starn Show, and I'm sure the audience appreciated the insight as well. Thanks again.
Thanks
Have an
for
excellent
having me
weekend.
And say hello to Todd.
Absolutely. Jeffrey Lord joining us. Great insight as always. Thejeffreylord.com is the website. And on the Twitter machine, at Real Jeffrey Lord. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. We hope you'll be a part of this conversation coast to coast on excellent radio stations across the country and streaming live at toddstarns.com. We'll take your calls after a short break. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starns.
Welcome back to the Todd Stern Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number. James is calling in from Georgia to talk about gun control. Are you still there? Thanks for holding on, James. Oh, he dropped. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Well, call back, okay? 844-747-8868. I did not get a chance in a previous segment to remind you how you can connect with us other than live during the program, noon to 3 Eastern across the country, on a great radio station or streaming at toddstarns.com. That's a good place to go, toddstarns.com. Follow Todd on Twitter, at Todd Starnes. And I am found on Twitter, Instagram, and Parler at Iowa Politics, I-O-W-A Politics. So that's how you can follow me, at Iowa Politics, on Twitter, Instagram, and Parler. And my website, where we have my radio programs, books, DVDs, other things that I think are of importance, at totallyiowa.com. That's totallyiowa.com. And I'm coming to you from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Iowa today. All right, there were some things that we've talked about already on the program, if you were with us from the start, and if not, you can catch up later with the podcast that you can reference by clicking at toddstarns.com. Now, there is something that is really a problem, and we need to recognize it right now so we can work to not have it be a future problem. And here's where I'm going with it. It has to do with redefining words, and we just talked about it a bit with Jeffrey Lord. So this past year, so many of us in this society were very happy to allow our businesses to be shut down, allow our places of worship to be shut down, and we were okay with that, then putting on these face burkas and wandering around with fogged up glasses and banging into things because we just don't know how to wear these stupid things, nor should we have to, but that's another conversation. We were fine with allowing our freedoms, religious freedom, economic freedom, personal freedom, we were okay with that being limited because, well, there's a public health crisis. There's this global pandemic, the China flu, the China virus, all of that. Now, it doesn't mean that you didn't resist it, but at first we were saying, okay, this is what they tell us has to be done, so we'll do this, okay. Public health crisis allows them to in some way take our freedoms. That's how it looks now, right? We let them do this in large part because we said, well, okay, you know, public health crisis. And just as we feared, they are now going to use that as foundation and precedent for taking your guns. Well, no, wait a minute. What does the pandemic and how we behave during the pandemic, what does that have to do with guns? Well, it really has nothing to do with it except the way those who are trying to destroy our nation, how they have styled it. The president comes out and says, well, someone told him to say, we have a public health crisis, and so now let's do gun control. Well, how does that connect? Well, people are shot and are killed, and that is adverse to their health. Okay. See, we can do this. No amendment is absolute. Okay, now as a lawyer, I'll tell you that is true, but that's not the strong position to start with if you're the leader of the free world. Hello, I have a proposal, but first let me remind you that none of your rights are absolute. Yeah, that inspires confidence. But this is the important point, friends of Starnes Nation. Public health crisis. So now we can do gun control because you already said if we had a public health crisis, then you just go along. See, it's no different than the pandemic. Be patriotic. Wear a mask. Turn in your gun. That's really what they're saying. And that's what some people on this program have warned about. If you let them get away with what they were trying to do during the pandemic, claiming that we had to do it, we're all in this together, public health crisis, you've just set the precedent. You've just set the foundation to allow them to infringe further by invoking the phrase public health crisis. And boy, are they far away from public health crisis when we're talking about gun control. It's, again, as we discussed earlier with Mr. Lord, who's so bright about such things. If you took a poll of Americans, and they have done this, are you in favor of improving infrastructure?
Sure!
Everybody's in favor of improving infrastructure because they think they know what infrastructure means. But the Democrats turn it around and say, look, Americans want infrastructure. We'll give you infrastructure, and it includes wages for workers because that's human infrastructure. Hey, you said you wanted infrastructure. We're calling this infrastructure. Similarly, we're okay with a public health crisis, so now let's use it to take guns. Well, it's not okay. Calling a dog a cat does not make it a cat, even if it sounds like it's meowing. It doesn't do it. Calling a bill an infrastructure bill when it doesn't have anything to do with foundational points that you pay for once and then you've got it for a half century, like locks and dams on rivers, like broadband, that's the superhighway. That's how we communicate. That, I think, can fit for infrastructure, but it sure is our crumbling roads and bridges. The other stuff, you can call it infrastructure. It doesn't make it so. You can call gun control taking care of a public health crisis, but it doesn't make it so. You can call it a dog, but it's still a cat, or vice versa. That one works both ways. 844-747-8868. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that topic or anything that is on your mind as we continue on this coast-to-coast conversation on the Todd Starnes radio program. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. And wherever you're listening across America on the radio or in the podcast at toddstarnes.com, we're so glad you did. Back in a moment on the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Show on excellent radio stations across the country, streaming live from noon to 3 Eastern weekdays at toddstarnes.com. And, of course, there is the Toddcast podcast that you can listen to just by going to toddstarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 844-747-8868 is the number. That's the number TJ used to call in from Florida, and I think I'm going to enjoy this conversation. TJ, thanks for making the call. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, so you heard me go on about dictionary terms and redefining terms, and you bring up an excellent point. Go, please.
I think this is something people have been doing throughout history, ever since there was language. But it wasn't okay until, especially for a president, until we got Bill Clinton sitting there going, I did not have sex with that woman, which he redefined the definition of sex to be strictly intercourse.
That's exactly right. And, by the way, I have a feeling, I know it happened in my house, and I'm sure it happened in most households. After that came out, we all had conversations to make it really clear that the definition as narrowed by the president was not the definition shared by most homes. Is that fair?
Yes, sir. I had the same conversation with my stepsons.
Yes. Well, and this, again, is the famous president who, in asking or answering a question under oath, responded by saying, well, it depends on what the definition of is. Which, and now again, I'm a licensed attorney. He was a licensed attorney at the time. That's a lawyerly answer, just like saying I did not have sex because I define it in a very narrow way. That is a great, I mean, do you really think that, because it was the president, TJ, do you think that really took us down this road to where not only does anything go, but we can say anything we want?
Yes, in fact, I commented to people I knew at the time that he had started us on a very slippery road where words weren't going to mean anything anymore. That if the president can redefine terms to suit his own situation and make him look squeaky clean, then everyone's going to start doing it, and we've destroyed our own language.
And with it, our culture. TJ, thanks for calling in from Florida. Thanks for listening to the Todd Starnes Show today. That's such an excellent point. There's so many of these examples. And I like to have conversations about, okay, where did this start? How did we get to this point? All right, so how did we get to the point where we say gun control can fall under public health crisis? Well, TJ properly reminds us that Bill Clinton was pretty good with a word, as it were. 844-747-8868 is the number. There is something that Todd mentioned that wanted to have us draw your attention to, and we'd love to get your thoughts on this. Because Todd may take the day off of the show, but he is not taking the day off. He's still working, and ToddStarnes.com still gets updated, and that's where you need to go to keep current on things, obviously. But this really has kind of gone under the radar because of all of the rest of the stuff. You know, when Jeffrey Lord earlier this hour just recited this whole list of atrocities that the Harris-Biden administration has foisted upon us, I mean, there's a long list, and you say, oh, gosh, I forgot about that one. Well, I forgot about that one, because there were so many. Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives have advanced a bill that could pave the way to reparations for black Americans, because we need to address centuries of enslavement and institutional racism. Late Wednesday, the House Judiciary Committee voted 25-17 to create a commission to draft reparation proposals. No Republicans voted to support the measure. And we get right back down to dates back to 1619, thoroughly discredited project, but still they're referencing 1619. And now they're going to model this commission for reparations on something that Congress had approved in the 1980s with regard to World War II incarceration of Japanese Americans. Now, there are a number of distinctions here. One of the distinctions is the Japanese Americans who were harmed directly, many of them were alive. I remember Fred Korematsu, lead plaintiff in one of the legal cases, came to the law school I was attending and at the University of Iowa and spoke. There's a big difference between, and literally one of my professors talked about being rounded up because he was Asian American. Never mind the fact that he was born in this country. Okay, atrocities committed where the victims are right there, that may be one thing. But in one respect, I'm not sure I'm too concerned about this reparations thing, because I can document that I'm a second generation American and my family came over on a boat in the 20th century, after slavery. So don't give me a bill for reparations. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my people's fault. We weren't living here then. How well do you think that will go over? Or, I love watching some of these genealogy shows on TV, and they're showing how all of the blood is mixed over the course of time. So if you are a person of color, but you had a white descendant, do you pay yourself? There are a lot of problems with this, quite obviously. But one of the things that you have to know right now is, and go to ToddStarnes.com and you can get more information, House Democrats are pushing this with the barest of majorities, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to go to the phone lines now so we can talk to Jenny from Gainesville. She's listening on the great Todd Starnes affiliate WDUN. If I could read, that would help. Jenny, help me out. You talk better than I do, I bet. What's on your mind today?
I've been enjoying you today.
Thank you so much.
I didn't have the right number and I kept calling. Finally, I got it. But
good.
What I wanted to say is I hate Coca-Cola. Because of the fact that when I was younger, my aunt put a piece of beef in a glass of Coca-Cola, and the next morning, the beef was destroyed.
Were we trying to make a point about what soda pop does to you?
Yeah, well, that does it to your gut, and I'm a retired operating room RN.
Uh-huh.
And
that would make an impression on you, wouldn't it?
Everybody thinks that, we'll drink Diet Coke. Well, Diet Coke is no different.
Mm-mm. Well, so you,
I just wanted to make it.
No, that's tremendous.
Known.
That's tremendous. Now, so your hatred for Coca-Cola, even being right there in the shadow of the headquarters, this has nothing to do with politics per se. It has to do with the fact that it's not a product you would suggest people use on a good day.
That's right.
How old are you when this experiment
Instead
took
of,
place?
Like Royal Crown Cola, mm-hmm. and Pepsi Cola, and there's a few others that you can drink. But stay away from Coke.
So there is a difference in the composition. In other words, if that experiment that was shown to you as a young person was done with Pepsi or RC or whatever, it'd have a different result?
Yep.
Really? I was not aware of that part. That's fascinating.
Well, if you read the story about Coca-Cola when it was started, if mm-hmm. I remember, there is something like a cocaine in it.
There was originally. The coca comes from cocaine, but supposedly the formula is different now.
Well, it still eats your guts out.
Well, I really appreciate you reminding us of that, Jenny, and thank you so much for listening to News Talk 550 and 102.9 FM there in Georgia. I don't, I have not drank Coca-Cola for years. I just haven't. My mother was always partial to Coca-Cola, but with our family business, we had a Pepsi machine. I mean, it's just the way that it was, and so I sort of just drank Pepsi. And now I just have a big old thermos of coffee, and I'm glad that Jenny's off the phone because I don't want to hear what that coffee's doing for me or to me. I'm sure it's doing a lot, and it's probably not positive, but at least it's not Coca-Cola. And there's no better way. Again, we talk about what can I do? What can any one of us individually do? It is really easy to be hearing about all of this stuff and saying, all is lost, there's nothing I can do. You can do anything within your power that makes you feel good about it and tell your friends. So maybe you just got rid of all the Coca-Cola products in the house. Maybe you're not flying on Delta anymore. Maybe you're not watching pro sports. Maybe you're not shopping at some of these stores that won't sell you a MyPillow across the counter. Do what you can, feel good about the liberation that you feel from it, and then tell your friends. I don't see anything wrong with that. I'll tell you a very quick story before we go to break. And again, there's room for you to join this national conversation at 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I'm at a radio station in Iowa. And so we were making some programming changes. This is what happens. You evaluate your program schedule on a regular basis. Shows come, shows go, based upon a lot of factors. And we had a program that just didn't get an audience. And it was very much other than what we were doing the rest of the day. We were talking about contemporary political issues and issues in the news. And then we had this other show that just didn't fit. It was about sports, and it was fine. But management said, we need to do something else. So we parted ways with the host, and the show went away. And I started getting posts on social media, and I didn't even know you could do this, but there were people who listened to that show on our station app. And so what they were doing was recording themselves, deleting the app from the phone, and then they posted that video to social media. At first I saw the first one, I said, oh, that's well done. That's very nice. That's clever. So they felt better about, by the way, that show did not come back. Okay, so I don't care how many videos I was sent on Twitter and Facebook showing people deleting the station app from the phone. Usually it came with a comment that said, well, if you don't have this show, there's no reason for me to listen to your station, which really made our point was that it was such a narrow audience, it wasn't doing us any good. They didn't realize that. But the point is, they took their little cute videos of them deleting the app from the phone, and they posted it, and they felt better. Okay, that's fine. I respect that. So now you go do something that makes you feel better. Maybe it's post on social media, as Jeffrey Lord suggested earlier this hour. Maybe it is donating money to a campaign. Maybe it is simply not shopping in a store and letting people know why. This is the time to do very productive things one step at a time that makes us feel good about ourselves and then bring others along. You don't need to be big and flashy. You don't need to violate the law by any stretch. Do what you can do. You'll have confidence to do more. And we'll do more in a moment. 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
We are back with the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd this afternoon. 844-747-8868 is the number to call. We have time to fit in a quick call yet this hour, also some next hour. If you're with us for hour number three, either on the live stream, the podcast, or maybe your radio station is carrying all 3 hours of this fine program, we're going to talk about the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer charged with George Floyd's death. We're going to talk with legal analyst Wendy Patrick about that. She's a prosecuting attorney, author. You see her on Newsmax and all other various channels. News Nation, I know she's on fairly frequently. And again, hopefully she can talk better than I can when we talk with her just after the top of the hour. And then also coming up in the third hour of the Todd Starnes program today, just after the bottom of the next hour, Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs will join us and we'll talk about court packing, the border, and whatever else is on his mind. And of course, in and around, we'll talk about what's on your mind at 844-747-8868. I want to go back to this idea of reparations. And this is truly something that could get out of hand in a big hurry, not only from precedential value, but in terms of literally trying to determine how you do this. This is one of these situations where, and I taught college students for 25 years, so I understand what it's like in the ivory tower. I tried to stay down on the ground floor, but I understand what the ivory tower is like and how they think. And so sitting there and coming up with some sort of scheme, well, these people, quote unquote, these people were treated badly, so how do we make it up to them? The only way we know how to make things up to people in our society, and that's to pay money. I mean, think about it in this respect. If you're walking down the street and someone strikes you, you're a pedestrian, they strike you with their automobile, and you suffer a broken leg, the only way to, quote unquote, compensate you is through money. They may have to pay your medical bills. They may have to pay you for time off from work. They may have to pay you for pain and suffering. But realistically, it doesn't make up for the fact that your leg was broken and may never be the same. But there's no way that we can just do that, right? There's no way that we can just simply wave a magic wand and either return you to the situation you were before, and breaking the person who was driving the car, breaking their leg, that doesn't help. That doesn't make you feel any better. So we give you money. We'll pay you off. That's the only way we have to compensate, literally. All right, so if you think that people were harmed because of slavery in this country, that's fine. But they're not alive now. Well, their descendants should get money. where was their harm? And I'm not just dismissing the concept of harm. I'm talking about the reparations. Who's going to qualify? See, nobody wants to talk about the details. This is the problem, my friends, with liberalism. In all respects, we're talking about let's feel better. Let's make people pay because they did us wrong, or they have more than us, so let's make them pay because obviously they didn't work for it. And then we're going to feel so much better because we've taken from somebody. Those who were slaves aren't receiving this. Is it fair for their descendants, if you can show a pure line, to get something that really should have gone to somebody else? But they're going to feel better about it. I don't know. I'd like action that actually is meaningful, not just how you feel. Hope you feel like staying around. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Another hour coming up here on the Coast to Coast Todd Starnes Show.
Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to this hour of the Todd Starnes Show. On outstanding radio stations across the country and streaming live from noon until 3 Eastern Time weekdays at ToddStarnes.com. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd on this Friday, coming to you from my home base at Iowa's home for the Todd Starnes Show, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching Middle America with accurate news and reasonable views. And it's my privilege to be with you, Starnes Nation, again today. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, just after we take our break, we will be joined by return guest to this program. He's Arizona Congressman Andy Biggs, and we'll be talking about issues such as that border and how serious the situation really is, and what does he think about court packing and all other manner of things going on in the District of Columbia. That is at the bottom of the hour. 844-747-8868 is the number. May as well call and get in. We'll get to your call as soon as we can a little later in this half hour. I'll say it again. It's 844-747-8868. But joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the career prosecutor, legal analyst, author, Dr. Wendy Patrick. She is online at wendypatrickphd.com. You can also find her on the Twitter machine at wendypatrickphd. Dr. Patrick, thanks for taking the time. Very good to talk to you again.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to join you.
And you have, folks, you have seen Wendy Patrick on, oh gosh, Newsmax, News Nation, always on all of these different TV networks talking about contemporary issues in the news, but also drawing upon her insight as a prosecutor with regard to legal issues. And that's why I wanted to have this conversation with you today, Wendy, because the defense has rested, the prosecution has rested with its rebuttal case in the Derek Chauvin murder case. He is the former Minneapolis police officer charged with killing George Floyd. Give me a sense, because I have heard from a lot of people who've said, wow, that was quick. I can't believe the defense was so quick. Just from an analytical standpoint, your thoughts about how the trial has proceeded to this point.
Yeah, Jeff, you know, the evidence is in. I think it's been a wild ride over the last couple of weeks. In week one, we began with trauma, remember, with the bystanders. Then we moved to training in week two, where you had a lot of law enforcement professionals coming in and talking about what proper police protocol and procedure would have been in a scenario as was encountered by now ex-officer Chauvin. Then we moved from the emotional to the clinical when we talked about cause of death, and this is where you got some of those dueling experts, not only on cause of death, but also on use of force in the defense case. Jeff, people have said that they thought it was a little bit short. I'm going to say absolutely not, having been, well, not only a prosecutor for 23 years, but I used to be a criminal defense attorney. Mm-hmm. The defense only counters what they need to, because if they go all out and put on a lot of evidence, what they do is they basically allow the prosecution to come back with a larger case in rebuttal. So everybody sort of has a vested interest, both sides to some extent, at really narrowly tailoring the issues to just battle what they need to. So that's what the defense did here. However, the prosecution did a masterful job of cross-examination in really sort of shoring up some of the holes that were, well, at least that the defense were trying to punch in the evidence that the prosecutor put on the first couple of weeks. But now comes the hard part. Now the jury will be sequestered as they deliberate. That's no fun. But they are going to have a lot of evidence to analyze, and of course, Monday's the day that it will all be synthesized by the lawyers.
Wendy Patrick joining us on the Todd Starnes Show, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. And this is something that you as a lawyer, I as a lawyer, I want to be careful that I don't get people too far in the weeds on this, but I have talked to people who, as the prosecution was presenting its case, they would say, well, the defense has nothing. And I'd have to remind them, well, the defense hasn't started yet. I mean, we have to understand that the trials are not like sporting contests where one team gets the ball, then the other. The fact that the former officer, and so that makes your point, it was strategic, wasn't it? The cross-examination, they were just trying to make very specific points to give the lawyer something to argue to the jury, right? That was really what you were seeing.
Well, that is the goal of cross-examination, is you know you're not going to have all your points. You're not going to have the concessions that you see on Matlock and some of these, you know, fancy Law and Order television shows. It never happens in a real courtroom. I've been waiting 25 years for it to happen. Never happened once. Nonetheless, there is a lot you can get, as you know, Jeff, from opposing parties and witnesses. They have to concede certain things. If they don't, they look foolish in front of the jury. So what do? You gather up that evidence as you can find it, and then you put it together for closing argument. But you make a great point in that many people that haven't familiarized themselves constitutionally with a criminal trial lately think, well, what is the defense going to prove? They don't have to prove anything. They could have just sat there and not done or said a word. Now, obviously, they didn't, but they could have. And Mr. Chauvin, he didn't have to testify, and he chose not to. Sure, we all wanted to hear from him, but that's not a reason to put him on the stand. It would have been an analysis by the defense team of would he have done himself more harm than good, and we know how that analysis must have come out because he took the Fifth.
You and I talked about that concept on my program in Iowa just before, literally the day before the day that he announced he was not going to testify. What are some of the things that go into it? Because I think many people, lay people, would say, well, gosh, you know, if you're on trial, you're going to want to speak up, and jurors think they want to hear from the person who's accused. But that could be very flawed strategy legally.
Legally, especially when your actions are on videotape. So the only thing he could have added, besides humanizing himself to the jury, by the way, without a mask, the jury still hasn't seen him without a mask. We did on television when he took the Fifth. But sure, it dehumanizes yourself, but you also get to explain yourself. He's the only one in that courtroom that knows what was in his mind when he did what he did. This is very different than a spur-of-the-moment officer-involved shooting where there's a split-second decision that's made. This was 9 minutes and 29 seconds. So he would have to get up there and explain why he did what he did, what he saw, what he felt, what he thought. And whatever he said, no matter how good the explanations might have been, the prosecution would have gone up and really sort of torn it apart. And you wonder whether he could have withstood that to the extent that the jury would have been satisfied that he was entitled to an acquittal. Maybe they would believe he was entitled to a lesser charge, but the defense can already make that argument circumstantially from what they already have in evidence. Remember, this jury has options. They have second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Everything involves a different level of intent. So they have a lot to work with already. It just wasn't worth the risk to put him up there.
Wendy Patrick joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. She is an attorney and author, legal analyst. Red Flags is her most recent book that you can purchase wherever you get your good books. So at the very end, and this is the way the cases go, the prosecution presents its case. We say case in chief, but it's their case, then the defense, and then the prosecution has the ability to put up some rebuttal witnesses, respond in some way. In this case, as I understand it, the prosecution tried to bring up what they called newly discovered evidence, and the judge said, no, you had your opportunity. You can't now, in essence, stoke the fire when you had your chance during the case in chief. Did that make sense to you, the way that played out?
Yes. I don't think I've ever been to trial and not had something like that happen. You know, sometimes both sides will sort of mischaracterize or misinterpret or just sometimes miss the significance of certain pieces of evidence. So this carbon monoxide coming out of the squad car, that was an issue that everybody knew about, but really didn't sort of think about it coming into play the way it did during the defense case. So, you know, they can't bring up anything new that they could have had access to, knew about, could have brought up before. Happens all the time. And then what one or the other side has to do, if a judge really gives a narrowly tailored ruling, as this judge did in this case, is just toe that line and put on and ask the question of your expert, like they did here, what you need to do to be able to then argue. Remember, if you're arguing, you're already talking about what's already in evidence. What you need to put in and what you need to get out of your expert, simply to argue the point. But you don't, Jeff, want to go overboard and bring an issue of significance to the jury if you don't believe they thought it was significant. Why ring loudly a bell that they didn't hear the first time? So that was sort of what this evidence was. It was in that category. I'm very interested to see what they do with it on Monday.
All right, so speaking of Monday, so everything was done yesterday, Thursday. Today is Friday. The judge said, you have the day off. That gives the lawyers the weekend to prepare, finalize, their closing remarks. Take us through what actually is going to happen from this point onward.
Well, what's left now is the closing arguments by both sides. Of course, the prosecution gets to go first, and then the defense, and then the prosecution gets a rebuttal, and the judge will give the jury instructions. But what happens after that is going to be very significant. That's when deliberation begins. And remember what the judge said to them yesterday about how much clothes they should pack for the hotel stay? He said, quote, plan for long, hope for short. Now, no jury wants to be sequestered. I mean, that is tough. And sequestration is usually a last resort. Defense actually asked for it earlier, but the judge declined. So now they're going to have to analyze the evidence. They'll pick a foreperson. They'll look at the instructions. They'll sort of get acquainted. I've never been on a jury. You and I as lawyers, we never get picked. But, you know, we know enough about the process from talking to them afterwards to know that they are going to be very deliberative and very careful, because this is a case. Maybe we can say it wasn't a lot of evidence, but it was with respect to what they have to decide, which is first and foremost intent. What was going through ex-officer Chauvin's mind? I would anticipate it will take at least a couple of days and that he'll be convicted probably of something, whether it's going to be all three charges or one or more. Your guess is as good as mine. After all of these years, jurors are still impossible to predict with certainty.
And the one thing we can predict with certainty is they would prefer it not extend any longer than it has to be. And so that's why if you get to Thursday, you're going to probably be looking for a Friday verdict, even though they could meet and deliberate on the weekends. But there just seems to be something about juries wanting to wrap things up within the work week.
Jeff, that's especially true when they're sequestered and away from their families. So I would anticipate they make very good use of their time day to day. And perhaps we shouldn't be surprised if, like you say, perhaps we'll have a verdict by the end of the week.
Well, your insight is always welcome. I almost got picked for a jury, and it was basically a matter that each lawyer, I knew the prosecutor, I knew the defense attorney, and it was like a game of chicken. Neither one of them wanted to waste a strike to get me off the jury. And then finally somebody did, because they thought, well, I just can't stand having Stein on a jury, which is probably a good idea.
You would have been great. You would have made a great juror, Jeff.
No, it would have been awful. It would have just been awful. What is not awful is you have a radio program on Saturday evenings that people can listen to.
That's right. It's called Today with Dr. Wendy. And, Jeff, we talk about many of the same things with a little bit of a different angle. But thank you for the shout-out.
It's on The Answer in San Diego. Do your Google search or whatever, DuckDuckGo or whatever we're using these days to find things. And then you can find the Today with Dr. Wendy radio program. Wendy Patrick, thanks so much for taking the time. Always a privilege.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
Wendy Patrick on the Twitter machine at Wendy Patrick PhD, online at WendyPatrickPhD.com. 844-747-8868 is the number where you can join the conversation. We'll take a break. Then we'll talk with Janice, picking up this conversation And she's got a comment here that some people have raised to me, and I'm glad she's going to bring it up because we should talk about it, and we'll do that in a moment. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show, coast to coast on outstanding, excellent radio stations or streaming live at toddstarns.com. And as always, you can listen to the Toddcast podcast. It's still called that today because calling it the Jeffcast is just really bad branding. So even though it's not Todd, it is the Toddcast. Jeff Stein filling in for TS today, and joining us now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the congressman representing Arizona's 5th District, friend of this program. He's Representative Andy Biggs. Congressman, thanks so much. Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you?
Great, Jeff. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so you're right there. I have talked to people on my radio program in Iowa who are on the border in Texas. Tell us how things are in the border with Mexico in your state, the Valley of the Sun.
Yeah, so in Arizona, what's happening, the Tucson sector is the number two busy sector for apprehensions. We get a few groups there, like you're seeing. There's tons of groups coming, of family units, et cetera, coming in Texas at the Rio Grande Valley. But in the Tucson sector, that's where you're getting the runners, whether it's the Tucson sector or over further east in southeastern Arizona and the New Mexico border there. These are the young men that are military age. They're wearing camo. They're bringing backpacks filled with fentanyl, methamphetamine. They're coming through. They're running. Or these are high, very expensive targets. So you might have some Chinese nationals. You've had over a little bit further to the west in El Centro, you had a couple of Yemeni people who were on the watch list, the terrorist watch list. In March, there was another group of those that were on the terrorist watch list that you didn't hear much about. And then also there was a group of 11 Iranians about a month and a half ago found in Arizona. So that's what's happening there. You're getting the runners in Arizona, and that's why Arizona leads the nation, a rather dubious distinction, but it's just because of the features of it. We have the highest known getaway number, which is 52,000. Last time I checked, which was 2 days ago, is 52,000 so far this year.
That is just staggering. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation because you've been very vocal about it, but it almost seems like everybody's pointing to Texas. I'd argue that you've got potentially a more serious problem there in Arizona because of the type of people who are coming across the border.
Well, it is serious. I mean, but let's not minimize what's happening in Texas, but
right,
because what happens, you flood the zone with Texas, with the family units, et cetera. You're right, Jeff. Now we're stretched thin, and they're coming through, and yeah, they're bringing drugs. They're bringing bad people. These are the criminals. These are the ones who don't want to get caught, and that's why you have such a high getaway number. And then the terrain's different. I mean, the border is so big, so wide. As far as across the country, that, you know, nearly, 2,200 miles along the southern border, it's just amazing to see. And we're in the high, you know, people. I mean, Biden's trying to say, well, this is cyclical. In a sense, he's right in the sense that every spring and every fall, that's when you have a whole lot of people come because the weather's good. But you will still have a lot of people coming over in the heat of the summer, and it's tragic. And the coyotes control, and the cartels now control our southern border.
What's been the reaction to your constituents, the reaction from your constituents or Arizonans at what is happening?
And they're justifiably outraged. It is like the top issue. The other top issue, which actually has some correlation to it, is election integrity, right?
Yeah.
And then you always consider the economy. But this is the issue because Arizonans know one thing. we are impacted. Phoenix is one of the big distribution points for the entire country for both drugs and human trafficking. And you also have Tucson, which is a larger city that's within about 50, 60 miles of the border. And then you have these wide open swaths. And so we know what happens. And you're going to find all along the border, these border towns, you're going to find stash houses filled with people, filled with drugs, just waiting for transport into the communities near you and anybody else across the country.
He's Congressman Andy Biggs, representing the 5th District of the great state of Arizona. He's joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Well, I'm sitting here as someone who is a licensed attorney, has been in the courtroom on all sides of various issues. And so I recall, although as I get older, it becomes a bit dimmer, but I recall my constitutional law classes at the University of Iowa, just as you knew your classes from the University of Arizona and your work as an attorney. When you see what politicians with an agenda are trying to do to the Supreme Court, how does that make you feel, not just as an American, not as a patriot, but as a person who has devoted his life to law and jurisprudence?
Well, Jeff, I think you might agree with me. I think it undermines what makes America unique. What makes America unique with regard to all of the recognition of our God-given rights is this notion of the rule of law. And what helps us understand the rule of law is what we would like to have is an honest court system. And when you start politicizing this, it just basically not only undermines the rule of law in this country, but it basically brings the Supreme Court in disrepute. It politicizes it, and no longer can Americans or anybody around the world look to this country and say, yeah, everybody's going to be treated equally before the law. Because you won't be, because it's politicized. And it just is disgusting, and it outrages me.
There's so much disingenuousness that goes on in Washington, and it's just so transparent now. People say to me, and I've mentioned it on this program all day, people say, what can we do? What can we do? Well, you're a member of Congress. You did something about this thing that disgusts you. Tell us about the action you took.
Well, I've introduced a constitutional amendment to limit the court size to 8 justices plus 1 chief justice. I am hoping actually to try to get bipartisan support, because I can't believe that my colleagues across the aisle think this is a good idea. So many of them don't. I know that. I know that so many of them don't. So if we could somehow get this constitutional amendment legislation rolling and get it to the states for ratification, that would just solve a lot of heartache and headache that I see coming.
So from a historic standpoint, and again, just to be clear about it, there is nothing in the Constitution that predetermines the number of justices, but by the same token, there was nothing that predetermined the number of members of the House of Representatives. This has evolved a bit over time as the country has grown. Why is it that you think that this is the right number at this point, given everything that's swirling around? Why is it necessary for us to put this in the Constitution?
Well, you got to keep it in the Constitution because we're seeing this. We've seen this before. We've seen moves before to try to change the number, and both sides came out and said that's crazy. But just the mere threat of it, if you remember under the New Deal, it actually changed judicial opinions coming out of the Supreme Court at that time, because they didn't want to be packed. You know, they didn't want that to happen, and FDR threatened that. But also, we're talking over 160 years that we've been 9 Supreme Court justices. And I will tell you, scholars on both sides of the aisle, from right to left, they think this is a bad idea. Ruth Bader Ginsburg said it was a bad idea. Stephen Breyer, just a week ago, said it's a bad idea. And Joe Biden himself. Yeah, Joe Biden himself, back when he was not President of the United States, when he was more rational about it, I think, less interested, said, it's a bad idea. And that's where we are. We have come to rely on the Supreme Court as being nine justices, and you fill vacancies. And Jeff, I got to just say this, because when Jerry Nadler said he's going to unpack the court by giving adding to the court and then giving them to Joe Biden to appoint, that's called packing the court. And they try to say that what was done with Donald Trump filling those vacancies was packing the court. That's not packing the court. That's filling your constitutional obligation and those seats due to constitutional obligation. I am a big believer that nine is the right number. That's where we should be now. We should not politicize it. And that's why you keep it at nine. You don't want to politicize it.
And there's a part of me, I strongly agree with you, Congressman, that we've had nine through the bulk of our history. There's no reason nine isn't the right number, except it doesn't fit the political calculation of one party at the moment. But it's sort of like, all right, fine, you want to change this, have it take effect in 6 years. When at least there's a chance for people. It's the same thing as I don't know if we still do it, where you can't vote yourself a pay raise. It doesn't go into effect until the voters get a chance to weigh in on the topic. Because otherwise, it is just a naked partisan power grab.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, and by the way, it is still you can't. It's constitutional, and I can't get a pay raise. I can't vote myself a pay raise. You got to have an election intervene so people can say we're going to vote those dirty, self-serving dudes out of office. But but it's the same. It's the same principle. I mean, if this is going to be the case. Just imagine if Donald Trump, when we actually controlled the House and the Senate, because we did his first 2 years, what if he would have said, you know what, I don't want to wait for these vacancies to develop. Because don't forget, he didn't really have those vacancies rolling in the first 2 years. He says, I don't want to wait for those vacancies. Maybe he could say, I'm going to do four. That's how easy it is to imagine that you become this that the Supreme Court becomes politicized, because then it will affect every ounce of American jurisprudence, because the Supreme Court is looked at all the time on very important issues, including state issues. When state courts are looking at it, they will say, well, how did the Supreme Court say? That is such a dangerous precedent, and to not even put a cooling off period in there is actually particularly self-serving.
So finally, in our last moment, Congressman, people are listening to this conversation. They're motivated to action. What should they do on either of these two topics that we've talked about? What would you advise?
I would advise you got to stand up and let your voice be heard. Let your members of Congress know on both sides of the aisle. I think always you need to spread it out, spread the narrative far and wide to all of your circle of friends, everybody you can communicate to. That's how we win these things in America, is people being roused by what they hear and acting, and then we're going to get a chance to vote, and we need to demand election integrity so we can actually vote these folks out.
Congressman, thank you so much for taking the time. Keep up the excellent work, sir.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good talking to you. Take care.
Excellent to talk to you. Congressman Andy Biggs, 5th District of the state of Arizona. And one quick thing before we do the break, and then we'll pick up a call with Janice on the other side. You may sit there and say, well, my representative, my senator, they think the way I do, so I don't have to worry about calling them and bothering them. No, you have to call them and bother them so that they know they're on the right track. If they only hear from people on one side of an issue, they're taking a look at the calls and emails and saying, well, maybe, you know, maybe my side isn't as right as I think. You've got to let them know to make sure that they're in line, because they're keeping track. They're keeping tally marks of how many are calling and emailing one way or another on an issue. So don't just assume that because Congressman Biggs came up with this proposal that your representative, maybe of the same party, is going to go along. You got to tell them how you feel, regardless of whether you think they're with you or not. 844-747-8868. Glad you're with us. We'll pick up calls on the other side of this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back. Another segment of the Todd Starnes radio program for this Friday and for this week. Todd is off today. I'm Jeff Stein, privileged to join you from my home base at KXEL in Iowa, proud Todd Starnes Media Group affiliate. 844-747-8868 is the number that Janice used to call us from New Orleans. Janice, how are you listening to the program today?
Oh, well, for about the past hour or so, I've been listening on the phone.
Well, bless you for doing that. I am so glad, and I was going to make sure if nothing else happened, we were going to talk to you on the radio today. So thanks for calling
thank
in.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. No, before that, I was listening online on KWAM.
All right. That's outstanding. Mighty computer. 990. All right. Yeah. You have a comment that I agree with, and I had a friend who said, are you going to talk about this and such on the radio? And I said, we'll see what happens, and here's Janice who's going to talk about it. So tell me what's on your mind.
Yes, sir, and you said something a while back there that I completely agreed with.
Okay.
Now, there is a lesson to be learned from all of this. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. Yes, there are some, and I stress the word some, bad cops. It's not all. There are some, and those cops do need to be dealt with. I feel that the lady with the taser thing, I think that was carelessness on her part, and yes, she needs to be held accountable. Chauvin, I'm hoping for a guilty verdict on him, and I want him to get life in jail. But there's a lesson to be learned here. I am tired. They're making George Floyd out to be a saint. No, the man did not deserve to have the knee, not deserve to die. But he is indirectly responsible for his hookup with the police that day. Had he not been passing a counterfeit $20 bill, this would not have happened. And he robbed a lady, armed robbery. If I had my way, he would have gotten life in jail for that, and he wouldn't have even been out of jail. Now, the other day, there was a 13-year-old boy, 13 years old with a gun,
yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning, out in the streets with a guy that was just a bad actor there, 21-year-old dude with a 13-year-old kid. Now, I'm asking myself, where are the parents? Why aren't the parents looking for their child? The child should have been in bed sleeping. So I hold them indirectly responsible. I hold them accountable, and I might even consider giving them some jail time. People are going to have to learn how to raise their children. And the lesson here, the big lesson is, don't be a criminal. Don't break the law. And the likelihood of these kinds of things happening to you at the hands of a bad cop, or even a good cop who has to do it because you're running from them or something, won't happen.
Janice, there is no better way to have summed up all of that issue than you just did. And I'm so glad you held on for an hour from New Orleans. And it's such a great way to end the week.
I thought this was important. So I thought this was important enough for me to say I would have held on for 2 days.
Well,
I want people to understand that people, the children, the people, even adults, everybody, I don't care whether you're 13 or 53, you've got to understand.
You've
got to break the law. And if you
we've got to go because the law... That's right. And the law says we're going to run out of time. So... You're exactly right. Don't break the law. Don't run from police. Do come back and listen to the Todd Starnes Show again on Monday. Have an excellent weekend, folks. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks so much.